few weeks ago, we started a series called Acts What? Acts Alive. Turn to each other and say, are you alive? Acts Alive. We're into our third study. 2 weeks ago, the message was entitled, It's Your Turn Now. Lord, are you going to bring back the kingdom? And he basically said to them, folks, it's your turn now. I'm going to go to my Father on high, but what you need to do is go wait in Jerusalem until you be empowered from on high, and then you will go to Jerusalem, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth, spreading the message of the kingdom of God. It's your turn now. Then last week, we took a look at really basically verse 1 of Acts chapter 1, because these things Jesus began to both do and teach. And we entitled last week's message, How to Be Taught. The church is a teaching mission. Jesus' mission and the heart of God is that we be taught. He says, go and make disciples. And that literally means go and formulate disciples. Fashion, form disciples. People who look just like me. They are called, we are called what? Christians, little Christs. So go and formulate disciples. And it says, teaching them. So the mission of teaching, we are called as a Christian church. We believe the Bible is our final authority. Therefore, we spend our time learning the scriptures, being taught, teaching, so that we can look like Jesus. And why? Bring his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Now, lots of times we pray a prayer called the Lord's Prayer. And it can be a religious prayer if we're not careful. That's why here in the church we do communion once a month. We don't do it every Sunday. We're trying to avoid it becoming a trite thing, and it's something we more look forward to as we do it once a month. We don't always pray the Lord's Prayer together as a congregation because we don't want the words to become meaningless. So when we do it together, it is very meaningful. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You can say it with me. It's okay. This is one of those times. Let's start from the beginning. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. What? What?
Thy kingdom come.
Well, I thought we were all just getting ready to jump out of here and go there. Thy kingdom, well, that's a whole other topic. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Where? On earth. As it is in heaven. So what's his point? What's the kingdom supposed to look like? Love, joy, peace, righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. The fragrance and the presence of God in our lives. And when we bump one another, we don't gossip and backbite. We bump and out spills the love of Jesus. So when we run into each other, instead of gossip and backbite, what we run into is a testimony of, here's what I got out of the scriptures today. And what I get from you is not gossip and backbite, but what I get from you and what I give to you is the presence of God, the Word of God, something that helped me grow in Jesus. And if I share it with you, it gets bigger and it gets better, and you'll help me grow in Jesus. So we see His kingdom come on earth. As it is in heaven. Let me ask you a question. Not an easy question. Sometimes we have all delighted at times various and sundry locations, and it must have been 20 years ago and not here, in backbiting and gossip. Come on. Amen or oh no. You can say oh no on that one. Oh no. Do you think in heaven there will be backbiting, gossip, bitter resentment against each other?
No.
Do you think when you're at the presence of God, kneeling before the throne, standing so gratefully able to see Him and just thanking God you're there?
Yeah.
Do you think what you'll do is turn to your neighbor and say, did you see what Louie did last week? I don't think so, Tim. That's 90s. That's older. That's Home Improvement, if you didn't remember. Anyway, but I don't think so. Right? So thy kingdom come on earth, Lord, as it is in heaven. So that love and that presence and that gratefulness and that great is thy faithfulness and that strengthening of each other and encouraging each other. Lord, we want to live in that kind of a community on earth as it is in heaven. So what comes out of our mouth is something praiseworthy. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses. All depends on whether they're from the high church or the low church. Our trespasses are debts, as we forgive those who trespass against us, our debtors. As we forgive those who trespass against us. How's it finish?
Lead us not into temptation.
Lead us not into what?
Temptation.
Come on. You're all holy. You don't get tempted, do you? Don't look at each other. Why, you tempt me. No. No, lead us not into temptation. Listen, it sounded funny, but it's really in light of what I was just saying. Don't tempt me toward anger. Don't tempt me toward backbiting. Don't tempt me toward ripping apart somebody, because it's easy to join in on that. Don't tempt me in that way, and I won't tempt you in that way. I'm committed to building you up. An old song, 70s, Build Me Up Buttercup. Okay. My mind works in strange and mysterious ways. Okay. Come on, how many remember the song? Remember the song? Why do you build me up buttercup just to tear me down? Isn't that what we're talking about in the body of Christ? So the next time somebody backbites and gossips around you, you look at them and say, why do you build me up buttercup just to tear me down? Maybe it'll give you something to remember. Okay, buttercup, shut up. What comes out of our mouths comes out of our hearts. And what we're saying is, if we're going to be acts alive, it's going to be because we want to be transformed and we want to look like Jesus and we want to encourage each other to be like Jesus. Isn't that what you want? Yes. Now, this morning, we're going to do something really exciting. We're going to have church just like we're doing. And in closing, no, I'm kidding. The promise of the Father is what we're going to talk about today. And it's only an introduction to a fantastic teaching and experiencing of God. This morning, we did a little practice, didn't we, in worship? Did a little practice. How many want to be a part of that great waterfall of praising God? That sound is the roar of mighty waters. You see the book of Revelation, you got thousands and thousands and tens of thousands praising and worshiping God. So we get our practice time in now when we come to church and we lift our voice and we give Him praise and we give Him worship, and we're not too proud to be too loud. We're not afraid to be vocal because it's all right. We're not afraid to be silent for a half hour because it's okay to, but we're not afraid to be too loud, because you can't be too loud. Some other people can look at you and say, gee, you're just a fanatic, aren't you? You know what a fanatic is, don't you? Somebody who goes just a little bit more extreme than I go. Isn't it? Hey, what I do is right of God, but you do a little extra. That you're a fanatic. What's the root word of a fanatic? Fan. It's okay to be a fan in the attic for a sports team. It's okay to be a fan for your favorite football team. It's okay to really rip your head off and yelling for the NASCAR. Right? I should hear a good amen. It's okay. It's okay. But to do it for Jesus, people say it's strange. What's your priority in life? Who's your priority? That's what it's all about. And you know, it's not even anything that you really have to teach much on in terms of giving praise, because if your heart's just so full of thanksgiving for what He's done, out it rolls. God is so good to me. Is He to you?
Amen.
That's what needs to come out of our mouths. But this morning we're going to talk about the promise of the Father. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the, say it with me, promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but say it with me, you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's either in the Bible or it's not. You either just read it from the Bible or you didn't. Now tell me, is it there?
Yes.
Did I just make up that phrase?
No.
Now in the margin of that phrase, some of you have marginal notes. In the margin of that phrase, does it say, this passed away and was only good for 2 weeks and they had a coupon they had to turn in and in 10 days it was done? Does it say that? It doesn't say it in mine either. Okay, all right, so we shall go on. You should be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Let's go to Acts 1, verse 8. Say that with me, if you would, please. But you, no, who? Who?
You
meaning? Shall, say it again with me, receive power. When? When the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses. Wait a minute. I don't witness. I'm not a good evangelist. The pastor does that. Jesus, you go do this. Lord, are you going to bring the kingdom now? And then his answer is, yes, you get to do it. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria to the end of the earth. Now, he did notice something. It's really interesting. We're going to watch this unfold in the next few weeks. But he didn't have to give them 50 steps toward successful evangelism. What they had was this precious, passionate love relationship with him. And he brought a gift to their life that literally transformed their lives. And out of that overflow came the rushing rivers of evangelism that couldn't be stayed. But you shall receive power, and you shall be witnesses all over the place when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Verses 12 through 14. So they get this instruction and command from Jesus, and they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brothers. So you can answer one other quick question if you've wondered it during the text. Were the disciples obedient to Jesus' commands? Were they? He commanded them to wait in Jerusalem. He commanded them to wait until something happened. Were they obedient? Certainly. Their first steps that they took were to go and do exactly what Jesus had told them to do. Now, let's take a closer look. Jesus assembled with them. That Greek word is synalizo. Synalizo, that means he accumulated and convened them together. Now, they were gathered together, and it wasn't just a social time. We have a great time with our social times. But it's not just a social time when we gather, because there's a higher purpose, there's a higher calling. There was a teaching time. There was an instruction time. There was a follow-through time in obedience to the instruction. There was an experiencing time in their gathering together. Why do we worship? What did we experience this morning? We experienced praising God together. We even had a little praise lab together. We experienced. We were taught. We followed. We obeyed. We were instructed. We experienced. Now, I put a phrase up on your notes last week, and we'll do it again. How do we learn? We learn 15% of what we hear. We learn 50% of what we hear and see. That's why I have you open to your scriptures. We learn 75% of what we hear, see, and say. That's why already this morning I have had you what? Reading out loud from your scriptures. You both hear it, you see it, and you say it. I'm trying to help maximize the opportunity for real life learning. The question when you come to church is, how can I love Jesus the best? How can I be a Christian the best? How can I grow the most so that when I leave these doors and go out into the mission field, because all the world's the mission field, how can I best express Jesus? Is that your heart? How many of you are perfect right now, sitting here? Okay, I didn't think I'd see too many hands. Me neither. When I come to church, I want to grow. I want to grow so when I go out of here, I live Him better than I did before. All right, 75% then of what we hear, see, and say, and 90% of what we hear, see, say, and do. Their assembly time together was for instruction, for discipleship, for formation, as well as obedience and expression. The mark of a hungry people of God is that they gather together for teaching, instruction, fellowship, and worship. I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you hungry? Well, yeah, I am kind of hungry. I'm smelling bacon and eggs right now. No, are you hungry? Come on, are you hungry? Spiritually, are you hungry? Do you want to see Jesus? Do you want to hear Him? Do you want to be changed to be like Him? Man, I do. I get up in the morning and I start talking to Jesus. Go to bed at night, talking to Jesus. In between, talk to Jesus, listen to. But there's something inside that says, oh God, I want to keep going. I want to keep growing. I want to be more like You. I want to keep changing. I know I'm not there yet. Are you there yet, church? No, we're not quite soup yet. It's not soup yet. But we're getting tastier. We are. We're growing. We're changing. We're getting tastier. And people out in the world that you know who don't want anything to do with your Jesus, you just watch. They're looking. They're checking your spiritual dipstick. You're quart low. You didn't act much like Jesus today. Or, gee, you're changing. Something's going on in you. Wonder what it is. So He assembled them and He commanded them. That literally means He transmitted a message. He enjoined them. There were things that were vital for them to receive and understand. Jesus was getting ready to ascend to His Father. There were some vital issues that He wanted them to grasp before He went. It's so important. He says, don't depart from Jerusalem. Wait for the promise. Two major instructions. Why? Because the promise of the Father is going to come upon you. Now, this is not light. Jesus had delivered them from their sins. He'd forgiven them. He had died for them. He rose again. He took their punishment. Their slate is clean. Now, I cannot emphasize enough the power of what Jesus has done. We spent over a year in the book of Luke leading up to the crucifixion, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and the power of what He has done. We are not minimizing that work, but now we're into the book of Acts. And He says, if you want to be Acts alive, you've got to be alive, because it's your turn now. We don't minimize what Christ has done. It's the foundation of it all. But there's more to Christianity than getting your slate clean. Say amen or oh no. You can spend 35 years as a saint rejoicing every Sunday that your slate got clean 35 years ago. But there's a lot more to living Christianity than just getting your slate clean. There's keeping it clean. But the principle of Scripture, let me teach you very carefully. It's real simple. The principle of Scripture is out of and into. Say with me, out of. Into. Say it again. Out of. Into. He brings us out of sin. He brings us into the Spirit's endowment and power to live like Him. Out of sin, get the slate clean. Thank God Jesus went to the cross. And we worship Him daily because of it. He gives us daily strength to keep our slate clean. Thank God. But it's not enough to leave it there. Now we must go into being imbued, empowered, endued with His Spirit so we can go out and live like Him and bring His kingdom on earth. Do you understand? The message is bringing the kingdom on earth. How do we do it? We get out of sin, but we come into life with Jesus, empowered by the Spirit. The object is get clean, get full, then pour out. Very simple. Say it with me. Get clean, get full, and pour out. In fact, when you get full, He fills you more than full. He fills you to overflowing so you can pour out. Real simple statement of the gospel and the message of the scripture this morning. Get clean, get full, and pour out. There's Christianity. This is so important to Jesus. Listen, you guys, He'd spent 3.5 years with Him. He'd just gone through it all. If it was all done and they didn't need anything else, He would have said, okay, I'm shooting up to heaven. You're on your way. Go for it, guys. Yay, go. Yeah. On your mark, get set, go, go. Shoo, go do. Shoo, go do. He didn't say that. He said, I've done all this for you. And now there's something else you need for this all to really come into action. Your slate's clean. Now, I'm going to get you good and full. Out of, into. Do not depart from Jerusalem. That literally means, this is really cool. That really literally means in the Greek, don't put any space between you and God. How many of you know Pastor Sherry's favorite verse? But as for me, I get as close to Him as I can. That's her favorite verse. You can go up and talk to her about it afterwards. You can ask her, what's your favorite verse? Did Pastor Kevin lie to us this morning? I don't think so, did I? No, thank you. Don't put any space. Don't depart from Jerusalem. Something crucial's got to take place here. Now look, you guys, these were His disciples. These were the people who'd walked with Him. They'd done miracles, fed the multitudes. They'd walked with Jesus. They'd seen people raised from the dead. Jesus had already breathed His Spirit upon them. Did they have the Holy Spirit already on them? Well, they did. They did, but not in the full measure that Jesus is trying to bring. He says, there's something more. There's something more. So, don't depart. Don't put any space between you and the fulfillment of God's promise. And if you have any promises in your life, any promises God's ever given you, any things in your heart that you're holding on to, don't put any space between you and the promise of God. That's hard. Sometimes they take a long time. Sometimes, Jesus, you were really slow. You know, we've just been reading about it in Genesis with Abraham, haven't we? You're going to have a kid. Uh-huh. And Sarah's going, you really blew a cork this time, didn't you? Took a long time. Took a long time. Saying, don't put any space between you and the fulfillment of this promise. Get so tight with God. Get in there close. Don't depart. Stand close. Now listen to me. I'd like you to write down a phrase. God's word is good. God's word is good. And there's one other phrase I want you to write. God's word is good. Y'all get it? The next phrase goes like this. God is good for His word. God's word is good. God is good for His word. Say it out loud with me. God is good for His Word. From the beginning of the phrase. God's Word is good. God is good for His Word. Now, He says, so don't depart. All right, the next thing He says is wait. Wait for the promise. That Greek word is perimeno. Perimeno means stay around, hang around, wait, await for this. Stick, stay put, stay close. It's on the way. God is on the way. How many of you understand He's always right on time? Oh man, and sometimes you're dangling over the garbage can and you feel like you've lost it all. You're on your last penny, you're on your last potato chip, and you're on your way out. God's right on time. Doesn't mean you're waiting, doesn't mean that it won't happen. The challenge really becomes as you grow in Christ, did I hear that word right? But hang in there. Now, don't depart. Wait. Why? The promise of the Father. God's Word is good. God is good for His Word. The promise of the Father. The epangelia, the announcement, His divine assurance for good. God's assurance to you. He's saying to you, Kevin, I am good. Carl, Sherry, I am good. Pastor Carl, Pastor Sherry, I am good. And then He says, George, Megan, I am good. And all the rest of you, say it with me, with your own name in there out loud. Kevin, Nancy, you know what I'm saying? Okay, y'all get the instruction? Here we go, one more time. Kevin, I am good. The promise of the Father. God's pronouncement, God's divine assurance, God's pledge. If He says it, it's a done deal. God's Word is good. God's good for His Word. The promise of the Father. Wow. God's still doing something. The book of Acts ends abruptly in Acts 28 because we're in about Acts 968,000 now because it's still being written with saints alive on the earth today who still believe God is good, who still believe God's Word is good, who still believe God is good for His Word, who still believe we've got a part to play in bringing the kingdom of God as it is in heaven onto this earth. God, change me, use me, let's reach out through me because there's work to be done. Acts alive today. It's not just old stuff. The story of Jesus doesn't end with Jesus. The supernatural doesn't stop with Jesus. Luke makes it clear that the Christians he writes about were not spectators of Jesus. They were in action-packed mode with Jesus like we are to be today. And he says, wait for the promise of the Father. You're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Whoa! Wow. Say it backwards. Wow. The promise of the Father. The promise of the Father is obviously the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Spirit was first promised in His final instructions in Luke's Gospel, and He carries it right on here in Acts chapter 1, verse 3. The promise, epikagaleia, the announcement, the assent, the pledge, His announcement of good. All right, now let's talk about the Holy Spirit for a few minutes here this morning. Number one, the Holy Spirit's not an it. He's a He. He's a living person. No, it's not wrong. It's right. The pronoun in the King James. It's a living person. He represents both, Nancy. It's okay. You'll go to the scripture where He's neither male nor female, but we're all one in Christ Jesus. But He's a living person. Jesus is saying, I'm going to ascend to my Father, and I'm not going to leave you alone. Remember where the Bible says, greater works than these shall you do? Do you really think you're going to do a greater work than going to the cross? No. But you put us all together, you're going to sure do a lot more works than he did. You're never going to tie redemption, Calvary. You're never going to tie Calvary. Okay? That's not the point. But greater works than these. Greater, more, many. And you get the whole body of Christ anointed with the Spirit of God and the works that are going to be done. You're going to see people delivered and saved and healed. You're going to watch miracles take place. You're going to see nations change and the bars shut down and people come crawling out of bars and jumping into church and say, I want to know Jesus. Isn't it revival time yet? Give you a little vision. Hey. It's more glorious than that. It's more glorious than we've seen. And revivals have been just like that. Bars have shut down. Jails have had to shut down because nobody was getting arrested anymore. They all got saved. It's powerful. He's a gift you receive. If you then being evil. I want you to write down on your notes Luke 11 verse 13. And I'd like you to look at that this week while we're apart. Luke 11 verse 13. And I want you to hear the heart of God being expressed. He is a gift you receive. If you then being evil, in other words, compared to him, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? Say it with me. How much more? There's a theological argument the Jewish people, the Hebrew people used. It's a traditional argument. It's called the how much more argument. It's all through the scripture. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, I've got to ask you a question. Does that sound like you're having a struggle to force God's hand? Does that sound like, you know, man, I don't think I'm worthy. I didn't comb my hair. My part's on the wrong side. Okay, not much of a joke. It's not, well, only a few get this one. A lot of people teach that. That's not what the Bible teaches. We'll get into that. It's not some get the Spirit, some don't. What does the Bible say? It's your Father's good pleasure. If he wasn't making this available to all saints, then he'd be a really kind of masochistic God, wouldn't he? I got this fantastic gift. It'll change your life, make life worth living, but you can't have it. Do you think that's the heart of God? No. Come on, is that the heart of God? No, it's not. No. He says, listen, all of you disciples who've been walking with me, Jesus says, I want you, there's something so wonderful, so powerful, so mighty, this is going to change your life forever. I want you to just go wait for this gift that's coming. Except you go work 7-Eleven. No. It applies to us all. He's a gift. He's a gift we receive. If Jesus were to remain on earth, he could only do so much as one man at a time. Now he's going to spread the earth with his word, as the prophet said would be. All over the world, we sang, the Spirit is moving, and he wants to move through his people. He sends his Spirit to enable and empower each of us as his disciples. He's a gift you receive. Number two, he's a gift that enables you to know what to say. How many ever have trouble knowing what to say during the right occasion? I'm not going to make you confess to each other this morning, but you know, come on, you've been there. Ooh, I should have never said that. I have a gift. It's called open mouth just to change feet. That's not a gift. Luke 12, verse 12. The Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. How many of you believe you could use more of the Spirit of God in your life to help you know what to say? You got people looking at you from every sort of faith and persuasion say, well, what makes you think this Jesus stuff is so important? The Holy Spirit will give you the right scripture to say, the right point to say, the right comment to say. You don't have to have a doctrinal treatise. You don't have to have an encyclopedia of wise biblical sayings. But the scripture says the Holy Spirit will drop into your heart what to say. He's a wonderful companion, isn't he? The Holy Spirit. Although Jesus had breathed on them to do good things, the Spirit of God had not fallen upon them as the promise of the Father is said. That's a real important distinction. People say to me, well, wait a minute, what's this baptism in the Holy Spirit? Didn't I already have the Holy Spirit when I believed? Sure, you couldn't become a believer if the Holy Spirit wasn't working in your life. What about these disciples? Didn't they do great things? You bet they did. If you recall John chapter 7 and John chapter 20, it says he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. This he spoke, John 7 verse 39, concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. You got people all the time saying, man, this person doesn't need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They're doing fantastic things for God. I go, praise God, they're doing great things for God. Just consider how much more they could do then if they had the baptism of the Spirit. How much more? They're doing great things. We're not being critical of anybody. That's not what the scripture says. Go run around and be critical of those who don't have this. No, it doesn't say that. But it says he's available to all. There's something more. These disciples are waiting for something more. Number three, this gift is God himself, the Holy Spirit, as the Comforter. They'd walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. They were going to miss him severely. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you put your arms around his feet and say, I can see Megan saying, don't go! Don't go back to heaven! Can't you see that? You don't have to think of Megan doing that, but I mean, can't you see yourself doing that? Don't go, Jesus. He says, look, if I don't go, I've got to go, so you'll have the Comforter, one who's with you every moment of every day. Come on, if we'll be honest enough with each other, sometimes we do get discouraged, we get weakened, we get down in the dumps. Sometimes we have to look up to see bottom. Come on. We need a comfort for those kinds of occasions. John 14, verse 16, I'll pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Parakletos. Intercessor, consoler. The Holy Spirit comforts. The Holy Spirit strengthens. The Holy Spirit reminds you of Jesus. The Holy Spirit gives you peace. The Holy Spirit convicts you of sin. The Holy Spirit teaches you and leads you to truth. John 14, 26 through 28. John 14, 26 through 28. He'll teach you all things. He'll bring to remembrance all things I said to you. Peace I leave with you. John 15, verse 26. When the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you, the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. John 16, 7 through 15. If I depart, Jesus says, I will send him to you. When he has come, he will convict the world of sin. He will convict the world of righteousness and of judgment. Sin because they don't believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you won't see me anymore. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. The kingdom has got to come. The ruler of this age is being judged. It's not a good age. There's a new life to come and I want you to be a part of bringing it. Wait until you're being endued with the promise of the Father, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is coming and he will change you. And one by one, as you are changed, you'll be a part of bringing the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Folks, it's a new day. It's a new day. A new day of the Spirit's anointing. Now, just hang in there with me and I'll close. John the Baptist came to the Hebrews marking a new day, getting the people ready for a new move of God. Remember, out in the wilderness, crying out, baptizing by water. What does the scripture say over and over? Even John the Baptist says, I baptize with water, but the one coming after me is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. There's a Holy Spirit baptism. John the Baptist, the scripture tells us, was the Elijah crying in the desert saying, prepare ye the way of the Lord, get your heart ready. Baptism is still valid today in water, but baptism is still wonderful today in the Holy Spirit. John declared that Jesus would baptize in the Holy Spirit. Get ready to do the new thing. Let your heart be ready for God when we come to church on Sunday morning. Let that heart in you be alive, awake, alert, and enthusiastic, saying, what's God going to do today? When we look at each other coming in through the church doors, it should be, hey, what do you think God's going to do today? Man, I've been praying. God, move in the service and let somebody get healed. Let somebody get saved. And oh, God, move by the Spirit. And hey, what's he going to do today? Man, he's alive and well. Isn't he?
Yes.
Isn't God alive and well?
Yes.
You know why I don't wear robes, don't you? They'd get caught up on the stuff when I'm flipping all around. He's alive and well. Baptizo, the Greek word for baptized, means to make whelmed and fully wet. Get clean, get full, pour out. Out of, into. There's a difference between the breath of Jesus and the rushing mighty wind in Acts chapter 2. There's a receiving of the Spirit in measure by all who believe, but there's coming an experience that all can have in Christ to be fully whelmed, overwhelmed, overflowing, baptized in the Spirit. Not many days hence. Jesus had been with them 40 days. There were 10 more days to the day of Pentecost. And how many have heard of the Pentecostal experience? Because on the day of Pentecost, as we shall see in the next few weeks, Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit is fulfilled and poured out just like he's promised. All right. God wants to empower. God wants to enable. God wants to bring his kingdom on earth. Why does he want to empower us? To be his witnesses. Living witnesses full of power and life. I'm going to close with the first place where you really read about the promise of the Father, and it's in Joel in the Old Testament. And we're going to see this in the next couple of weeks being quoted by Peter as this promise is fulfilled. Joel 2, verses 28 through 32. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants. It's not a he-she thing. On all of my people, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. Listen to it out of the Message. That's just the beginning. After that, God says, I'll pour out my Spirit on every kind of people. Sons are going to prophesy, and your daughters also. Old men will dream. Your young men will see visions. I'll even pour out my Spirit on the servants, men and women both. I'll set wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and billowing smoke, the sun turning black, the moon blood red before the judgment day of God, the day tremendous and awesome. Whoever calls, help God, gets help. On Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, there will be a great rescue, just as God said. Included in the survivors are those that God calls. Folks, we're coming up to the last days. We're coming up to the last times when it's all going to wrap up. And our goal and our mission is to bring his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, to be just like him. To not put any space between him and us, but to be just like him in this earth. There is a promise of the Father for you and for me. The baptism in the Holy Spirit. We'll be speaking more of it in the next few weeks. It's a wonderful, precious experience and encounter with God to empower and to endue. And we'll be praying for people to receive this experience. Because there's an encouragement that strengthens you to go out and be what he wants you to be. Let's stand. Father, today we thank you that you gave instructions through Jesus to wait and to receive the promise of the Father. We're thankful, Lord, that your word is good and that God You are good for your word. And now as a church, we yield and surrender to you. We love and adore you. And we thank you for our time that we've had together with you. Let us go forward into the mission field, dedicated more than ever to living you and expressing you in Jesus' name. Amen.